We are gathered here today to honor Sue Oliver Mays, arrival home to be with her Lord and her Savior. On behalf of friends and family, thank you for being here, and thank you for the support of the family and your love for them. In John 17:14, our Lord reminds us that all who follow him are not of this world, but belong to God and are citizens of heaven. We are but pilgrims, according to Scripture, who tarry here on earth for a little while until God calls us home with our mission complete. If you would, please join me in prayer. Lord God, Scripture tells us that all things are in your control and that you have an appointed time for everything. Yes, even a time to be born and a time to die. Heaven is a place where our bodies no longer grow old or fail us, and we will be given a new life full of purpose and significance. So we thank you, Jesus, for your promises, and we ask your blessings upon this ceremony and your presence here today. May the ties that bind us together draw us close this afternoon and help each of us here to keep our eyes on you and to be filled with your hope that comes from knowing you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
My name is Molly Arlene Wilbanks, and I am Sue Mays' granddaughter. And this is my husband, Ross Wilbanks, and we will be reading her eulogy. The world wouldn't have known Sue Arlene Oliver if her parents, Luther and Lillian, had followed doctor's orders. Lillian came close to dying while giving birth to their son, Luther Jr., at home, and was warned not to have any more children. Well, Lillian and Luther didn't exactly take the doctor's advice. They had two more children instead, Sue and Robert. There are many stories, memories, and experiences we could share with you today. However, Sue had no time for long-winded speeches herself, so she wouldn't have wanted to subject you to one either. As a family, we've compiled our various memories and organized them under the following alliterative headings that we feel exemplify our beloved mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother.
She spoke. As an infant, she wasn't able to verbalize, but baby Sue sure told her mama and daddy how to parent her. Mama Lil and Papa had to hold her hand through the crib bars all through the night if anyone in the house hoped to get any sleep. She had tummy troubles as a child, but wasn't ashamed to share her secret nickname with a store cashier who asked what her name was. My name is Baby Sue, but my daddy calls me Pootie. She might not have been a boy named Sue, but she made sure everyone knew she was proud of being a tomboy who could keep up with her brothers and male cousins. She loved swinging on vines in the woods, playing Tarzan, playing football, and chasing boys at school. Sue wasn't a feminist, but she spoke up for herself in the workplace. As a phone operator, homemaker, assistant in a high school counseling office, and a real estate agent, she received respect as a result of her assertiveness. She encouraged victims of domestic abuse to use their own voices by driving them to their court appointments and sitting with them during their hearings.
She shined. Sue wasn't shy. At age 4, she sang a solo, "Jesus Loves Me," in front of her Aunt Cleo's Southern Baptist Church congregation. As a freshman at LSU, Sue was chosen to be the sweetheart of a fraternity called Sigma Nu. A classic beauty, she received the title not just because of her good looks, but also because of her vibrant personality. As Sue matured, her interests expanded. Mama Lil always said, "Sue can do anything she sets her mind to." She excelled as the following: seamstress, gourmet cook, home decorator, Sunday school teacher, real estate agent.
She supported. Sue and Max fell in love at LSU as LSU freshmen, and though it meant she would have to drop out of college, they married in December 1954. In order to support Max in his studies, Sue quit school and went to work as a phone operator for Gulf States Utilities. As their three children came along, she functioned as a semi-single parent so Max could advance in his career, which included extensive travels. Sue encouraged each of her kids to pursue their various interests and hobbies, even though that involved her driving for hours each week. volunteering as a Girl Scouts leader's assistant, Little League mom, and swim team parent. As Grand Sue, she intentionally took time alone with each grandchild. At age 7, each one got to fly LAX, where Grand Sue met them, then treated them to Disneyland. At age 14, each grandchild got to spend time alone with her and Daddy Max exploring the Pacific Coast Highway, taking in Universal Studios or jet skiing on Lake Conroe. She supported the needy of her community as well by working as a volunteer at Daisy's, a Green Valley thrift store whose proceeds benefited a home for victims of domestic abuse.
She shared. Sue was generous in practical and personal ways. She gave to her family out of her treasures, love, knowledge, wisdom, memories, money, and belongings. Sue and Max covered monthly payments for grandchildren's braces and for their private tuition for a time. As Gigi, great-grand Sue, she faithfully sent all 7 of her great-grandchildren birthday cards and Christmas cards with checks enclosed. She was also known to send gifts unexpectedly, with the memo line of the check filled in with one word, because. As she sized down, Sue would often say, "I want her things to go to family." She was especially concerned that old family photos would be labeled so that generations to come would be able to identify their ancestors.
She stood. Throughout her life, Sue was active in organizations that supported her values. As a senior, Sue used her considerable skills and energies as a volunteer. She spent countless hours designing a website for working at the Green Valley offices or for the Republican Party. She attended PAC meetings, organized rallies, and sent out electronic and paper announcements. She enjoyed the privilege of serving as the president of the Republican Party in Green Valley as well. We've been inspired, encouraged, challenged, and loved by this warm, dynamic woman who, according to a Louisiana doctor, shouldn't have come along. What a pity that would have been. Let's give tribute to Sue now as we view snippets of her full, vibrant life.
I was famous. sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Was grace that taught my heart to feel, grace my fears release. How precious did that grace, grace appear the hour I first believed.
Wanted anyone to, if they have memories to share now, and I'll start a few. You want to go ahead and go? Go ahead, Cormac. Yeah, come up here. Yeah.
My name is Cormac. I am her great grandson, and what I really miss about her is when she would let me go to the front like desk of. Before she went to memory care, like her old apartment, and let me get cookies.
Ah.
And like, yeah, and like hot chocolate and stuff. Yeah, my own drinks.
That's yeah. Nice. Thank you.
And,
another one.
I forgot, yeah.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, think about some other ones. I wanted to share a couple of letters. This is a letter that my dad wrote to mom when they were courting, basically, before they were married. And they were at LSU together. And, you know, he had to go home during the breaks and such. And this is the middle of the letter, but he wrote her, and we actually have letters from him to her. So he said, "You said in your last letter that you thought we would find somebody new or have to wait a long time. Well, I'm willing to wait. If we could start saving a little money by, we can, sorry, it's hard to see it here. Maybe before too long, something could work out. And on the other hand, it might not. It might never work out. I guess it just depends on you and me. I wouldn't blame you if you did meet someone else. Maybe he would be set up and you wouldn't have to worry about a thing. It's not that way with me. It's kind of funny. I know there are some people who are loaded, but they couldn't get a girl like you if their life depended on it. I think I'd rather be just the way I am. I think that someday I'll be able to afford luxuries, and I hope to share them with you. Enough of this talk. I kind of got carried away." I thought that was sweet. And then afterward, you know, Mom, after all of us kids were born, Dad traveled a lot, and he had to be in Colombia. He was on an oil rig. They were like plugging a hole, is what Mom said. But, you know, she was alone between Thanksgiving and like mid-January. And this was just a little beginning of a letter she wrote to him about the struggles she had. "Hi, darling. I just got your letter today and was so glad to hear from you. I felt all along that you might be coming home, but now I guess I'll just have to be patient. Bob," this was Dad's boss, "called around Tuesday the 21st. Thank goodness I was seated when I answered the phone. I was positively sick. I wrote you a letter that night, but tore it up later. It was horrible. I was so depressed. It certainly wouldn't have made you feel any better, and I do at least have the children. I cried for 2 to 3 days, and I had to really work to pull myself up. I painted, baked, cooked, cleaned, anything but sit still. The children were so disappointed, especially Missy, since she understands more clearly about Christmas." So just a little bit of their lives. Does anybody else have anything? You remembered your other one?
And I also miss, I'm not that, like, I don't know. But I miss when she would, like, give me $20 bills for Christmas. I don't really miss it, but, like, I don't know how to say it, but I'm not greedy, that's all. That's what I'm trying to prove. I don't know.
So I did, we named our firstborn child after Sue. So my daughter's name is Sue Oliver Wilbanks. And I don't remember exactly what I told my husband at the time, but I was just like, you know, had you met Grand Sue by then? Okay, well, we always called her Grand Sue, of course, as kids. And I just loved her vivacity for life. I think that's how you say it. She was a great example of just speaking out. And I don't think I didn't necessarily take that example and live it in my own life, but just to see someone who was like that, who is so, she just shared her opinion all the time, right? So, I remember her giving me these like really fierce hugs when I remember it in college specifically. Just she would come over and just give me this giant hug that was so strong, and I was like, whoa, okay. But it made me feel very loved. And I loved her style, and I started sewing because I was inspired by her. I believe that was, you know, just something I saw, and I was like, I want to sew too. And all the beautiful, her home was always beautiful. As a kid, I always just remember loving to go to their house and how pretty it was, and all the art on the walls, and the furniture, and how nice everything was and the style. She always had a great style. And that was something just always really stood out to me. And even though I named my child after her, I never recalled there being any like favoritism. She was always so good, her and my daddy Max, about just being really fair about how they treated us grandkids and our great grandkids as well. They were really good about that, and that was really nice and good. So those are just some memories I wanted to share about my grandmother. So.
Hi, I'm Craig, son-in-law. My wife Lauren and I had started dating, and what eventually happens after you get to know each other really well is you want to meet each other's families. So we took some trip to Texas, and I met them, and Lauren was in California. She'd met my parents, but that inevitable moment where the families meet came up. So both our families love to eat, so it made sense to do a barbecue in my brother's backyard. Sue and Max came out from Texas to California, and we had a great old time. One of the things that I couldn't remember a whole lot about that barbecue, other than something a friend said to me, came up and said, "You really hit the jackpot in the in-law lottery." And I was like, "Yeah, I did." And I felt very fortunate to be a part of the Mays family because of Sue and Max both. They were very kind and wonderful people, and feel lucky to have known them, had them as a part of my life. That's it.
So, Molly, you talked about how Mom just stood and spoke, and that is exactly true. She also built confidence in her children. She, middle school, we had moved to a completely new house in Houston, outside on the outskirts of Houston, in A-Leaf, Texas. I was always embarrassed. It sounded such a weird name, A-Leaf. Where do you live? A-Leaf? A-Leaf. A-Leaf. No, it wasn't A-Leaf. It's somebody's name, I'm sure. But anyway, it was a small junior/senior high school. It was, the community was just, neighborhoods were just building up. And I was going through, you know, all the social and emotional and hormonal changes that a 12, 13-year-old goes through. And I found myself doing odd little things, like I had to touch the couch when I went by, or I had to do this before I got to the stairs, and just weird little things. And one night I was lying in bed, and I thought, okay, I've prayed for everybody. I had to pray for each one of my friends, or something horrible would happen to them. And it hit me, I'm insane. And I ran crying to my mom and dad's bedroom and said, I'm crazy, what do? I'm crazy. And so, you know, mom and dad were just laying there reading like they usually did before they went to sleep. And mom just grabbed me and hugged me. And she said, "What are you talking about? Tell me what you mean." And so I told her all the little weird little tics or whatever, little things I had to do. And she said, "Oh, I did that. I got over it. No worries. And I said, and I washed my hands. And she said, "Let me look at your hands." And they were very dry and red. And she said, "Well, honey, just use cold water instead of hot water." She relieved so much anxiety just with her words and her understanding that I'm sure I still have some, you know, whatever that OCD or whatever it was. I was never diagnosed. I've never been on meds. I was able to just relax, and she did that for me multiple times. One other time I'll share is I had just left home. I turned 18 in August, and less than a week, I was at Southwest Texas State University. Away from home in a dorm, about 3 hours, y'all think, Cynthia, Jack, about 3 hours from Houston, San Marcos, 3.5. And so that was probably like August 23rd. And then Labor Day, I took the bus home to go be with the family at Labor Day, and I begged and begged and begged, Mom and Daddy, please let me quit. Please let me stay home and go to a community college. And they sat me down, and my mother said, you are going to make it in a few weeks. You're going to be fine. And if I had not listened to her, then I would not have met my husband.
Hey, just a couple of quick memories on Stuart, the middle child. Yeah, right? I don't know when that became a thing. Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks everybody for coming out and being here. Hey, Mom and Dad, it's a great crowd we got. And, when we did Dad's service, it was during COVID, and so it was a really small crowd. So it's great everybody can be here for Mom. It's a little hard following, so close to Richard's service yesterday, but obviously, it made a lot of sense to do this for the family while everybody's here. Our earthly Sue would probably have objected to this, but the heavenly Sue really doesn't care. she was commonly nicknamed a spitfire, and she did spit fire occasionally. She also gushed a lot of love. I know she worried a lot about me and all of us kids, but sometimes she would dote on me, I felt, at holidays, and kind of made me a little self-conscious, but I did appreciate it. And it seems like Christmas time, I would get more gifts than my sisters did, right? It was like, But Lauren and Missy Kelly, had their husbands there, and so I think they ate up some of the gifts, right? Another good memory was, I remember I was working away from home for a summer in Sacramento. It was a really hot summer. I was by myself in a hotel room for about 3 months. And it's like 2015. She contacted everybody in the family and asked them to call me for my birthday. Everybody called. It was a little embarrassing, but much appreciated. So, and then just one last thing. Mom did suffer in her last days, but we did, have some really quality moments with her where she was happy and we got to sing songs together, and it was really good for us three kids and Mom for us to be there to hold her and sing these songs together. And in the end, dying is very hard. But in the end, I think the net amount of joy we experience in life, greatly outweighs the suffering, as you see in the photos. And it's hard, when people die, but they are going to a better place. It's not the end, it's the beginning of, their time with the Lord. So I want us just to rejoice that Mom is now free of her earthly bonds and rejoin with Dad and her kin.
Thought I'd give a good example of Grand Sue's comedic timing. She was really good at not pushing the joke, but just letting it unfold like a good Southerner. And they both, when Sue was one, they came to Charlotte. And we were living with, we're taking care of a gentleman named Mike, who many of you know, but he lived with us and had cerebral palsy, just a real special person. And they, Daddy Max and Grant Sue loved talking to Mike, and they got, they got chummy. And Daddy Max and Mike were talking about, eaten hot food. Mike was legendary for his ability to eat hot food. Like, I thought I could maybe hustle some money with people, because you just look at him and thought, well, I surely could beat this guy. And he would just shovel it in there and just blisteringly hot stuff. So Daddy Max, of course, and Grand Sue said she didn't like it so hot, but Daddy Max liked it hot. So we decided we'd go to a Southern Indian food place that we loved, and we're in, but you know, I don't want it hot, but they get it hot. Mike orders hot, something very hot. Daddy Max orders something hot. Well, I'll be okay. So I order it, and I sit there. Two bites in, I'm just sweating. And Mike is shoveling it in, just, and Daddy Max and him just looking at each other. And Grand Sue's here. She says, is it hot, Ross? No, it's okay. I mean, I need a little water, but I'm all right, you know. And I'm just persistently going to just, and she just never gives me a full joke. But she finds it very amusing that while they're just, you know, I'm going smaller bites and just, you know. And so, well, it looks like it's kind of hot. Are you okay? Goes back to her food, you know, and then just by the whole meal, just very gently. And it was really funny looking back on how kind she was to me, because I looked ridiculous, just trying to red in the face. He got enough. He needs some water, but he's fine otherwise, you know. So I always loved that about her. She never, I know she spit fire and had her opinions, but she also had a kind of amusing way to just kind of rib you without feeling like you were being super self-conscious. I mean, I think of it now more, but that's what I wanted to share.
Asked to share about Sue's spiritual journey, basically. So we're just going to chat about that. I'm going to talk about that for a little bit. So Sue Mays was brought up in a Southern Baptist church. From a young age, she knew who Jesus was and knew about him. Later on, after she was married, Max and Sue joined the Episcopal Church in 1963, and had all their children baptized at that time. On and off throughout their lives, they were active members of the Episcopal Church. In 1999, when Max retired, and Sue and Max were living in Conroe, Texas, They were both fully involved at a church there and attended a Sunday school class at that time. In the early aughts, around that same time, they shared with their oldest daughter, Kelly, that through studying the book of Matthew, they did indeed believe that Jesus was who he said he was. Later, when they moved to Green Valley in 2004, they attended St. Philip's and were involved and invested in the church there for about 6 years. Sadly, they stopped going to church the day a visiting bishop spoke about politics. He said, if you support this bill, you are not a Christian. My grandparents did indeed, however, support that bill. Just me speaking here, but God is the only one ultimately who knows our true hearts and who will reckon with our hearts.
This is Psalm 32, verses 7 and 8. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you.
Suimax did later watch and listen to Robert Furrow, an evangelical pastor on TV. Towards the end of her life, Sue prayed personally for mental acuity and for relief of sadness. At this point, she had been widowed after 66 years of marriage. Just a few weeks ago, when Sue's body was failing her at the end of her life, her daughter Kelly, along with a dear friend, offered to lead Sue in a prayer to reaffirm her faith in Christ. God is a true God of comfort, and we can have hope Sue Mays, Grand Sue, Mom, Gigi Sue is with him now.
Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The heart of faith in God, what we call Christianity, is acknowledging that he is who he says he is, trusting that he is God and we are not, and accepting his grace and mercy. This is true whether we trust him 14,600 days before we die or we trust in him one day before we die. And so though Sue Oliver Mays has shuffled off this mortal coil and traveled to that undiscovered country, as Hamlet would say, and though we will greatly miss her, there is hope that we will meet again.
This is Psalm 46, the first three verses. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear through the earth, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling.
Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet. Coming for to carry me home. I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. I saw a band of angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home. And that's why I sing, swing low, sweet. chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing to carry me home.
Some wonderful song selections of that coming for to carry me home. If you'll join me as we pray. Jesus, we're so grateful for your loving kindness and mercy that you show us daily. We know that whatever circumstances we're going through, that you have promised to be with us and to comfort us. We claim your peace that defies our circumstances and the rest that comes from the knowledge that knowing that nothing can snatch us from your grasp, not even death. The separation we now feel is but a temporary one, and one day, not too long from now, we'll join Sue in heaven. Until then, please bless all those gathered here today. May the memory of Sue and the impact that she had on our lives be not forgotten. And Lord, we love you. We thank you for the great salvation you brought through your Son. We just ask as we go that we'd be very mindful and be doers of your word. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. That concludes the service. Thank you.
Oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, oh, when the sun refuses to shine, oh, when the sun refuses to shine, I still wants to be in that number when the sun refused to shine. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. I'm going to sing as loud as thunder. Oh, when the saints go marching in. When the saints go